Hey, welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long of the Associated Press. Fat Tony here with you. Lauren Brooks as well. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on the air. Kicking off tomorrow with the Tennessee Titans. Hello, Mark Long. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good morning. It's been a contentious 10 minutes of pregame radio here.
Despite getting called a hater when I walk in the door and dealing with you.
Well, you hated on my clothing.
Well, yeah. And then I supposedly hated on the Jags. Last week.
Right.
With the picture, yeah, that was, you know, I'm still getting...
No, you didn't hit on the Jags, feedback. Just the fans.
I'm still getting...
the loyal fan base.
Still getting negative feedback.
You should.
But yeah, it's all good. Yeah, all good. Happy to be here. Last show of 2014.
That's what you say.
Maybe.
Right, that's what you say. Right. Until I told you that Lauren Brooks and Jessica Blaylock will be filling in for Tony and I next Wednesday here on campus.
That's a lot of estrogen.
It is a lot of estrogen.
This room's not used to that.
And you know,
I don't know if estrogen's the word I would use.
No,
how about femininity?
Okay. Femininity, yeah, but that's you know.
I mean, there's a little bit of that when Pete and Baselli are in here.
What? Which femininity?
Yeah. You like
it? I don't know. Pheromones will be in the air for you, Mark. He won't be able to resist coming by the studio, Lauren. You know.
I know. Well, when I
because
asked
I'm
Mark...
in love with Jessica.
Take your pick.
I
when I asked Mark if he wanted to join us, he said, "What will you be wearing?"
Oh,
right.
Well, that's
so that tells
the,
you
the response that you would expect.
Mark Long, for you, ladies and gentlemen.
You can't disappoint.
Journalism major from the University of Florida.
I was going to say, what do you expect from Mark today?
Well, he claims he's never heard of a haiku before.
Have not.
It's unbelievable. How did you sleep through school to that degree? You got your degree, right?
I did. I don't. Maybe I just forgot. I probably have forgotten a few things in the.
Do you know what iambic pentameter is? You ever heard of iambic pentameter?
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but I remember hearing about
it. Sure.
Right. Okay. Haiku is a lot more common than that.
Mm.
It is. It's just a form of poetry. All right.
I disagree.
That's fine.
We agree. We'll agree to disagree. I don't think haiku is as popular as you think it is.
I'm not saying it's popular. I'm saying it's more well known. It's a well known thing. People understand, even if they don't know how many syllables are in a haiku, they understand it's one of those little short poems.
Okay, so when we're judging these haikus today,
I got a bunch of them. Yeah, okay. they know it's coming.
Are you going to be weeding them out as to what's actually a haiku and what's not?
Oh yeah, they've already been weeded.
Oh, they are. Okay.
I've weeded through.
You're vetting them.
I vetted.
You're just going to read them, and
I'll give you a sample of the ones that don't qualify. You know, because they were interesting. Some of them, but
let me go back to this. How did we end up with this?
How do we end up with what?
December 17th.
Oh, these are fantastic.
I'm just trying to figure out how we ended up with a haiku contest.
Well,
the day before.
It's pretty simple.
The Jags are. You know, Jags, Titans.
If they're Jaguar-themed haikus. They're not just like, we're not writing about roses are red, violets are blue. This is, you know, teal is teal black is
that's
black.
Fine. All right.
Mixing a little
I
gold.
Was expecting to have a few written about Lauren. And Jessica.
They could, because that could be Jaguar related. They're in the Jaguar media.
They've opened themselves up.
Why don't you write some poetry for the ladies? All right, you've got an hour and 45 minutes, and right at the end of the show, we'll unveil your best offering. Sound good?
Yeah.
You like that? I like that idea.
I think everybody likes that except Lauren.
It's pretty simple. I really don't want a bunch more submissions because I have a bunch from yesterday, and I'm not going to be able to keep up with any new ones that come in today. But we ask people to, on Facebook, on Twitter, or email, send us a Jaguar-themed haiku. And we've got a pair of tickets to give away. What better way to give away a pair of tickets? What would you have suggested? Caller number 4?
Somebody who can... Yeah, I don't know. Sure.
See?
Sure.
Exactly. Right. This is well-researched by the consultants. Haikus are big. With the
this is very subjective.
I know.
Okay.
Consultants are subjective.
So...
Moving on.
Are there three of us voting?
Well, we'll get to it later.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just kind of kick it around, and you're gonna. You're not gonna approach this with the proper level of enthusiasm today. So your vote may be null and void.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
We may let Lauren pick the winner today.
Well, that would be nice.
Well, what it would put a lot of pressure on Lauren because then
too
we're
much
not
pressure.
The bad
there's
guy.
A lot.
Has,
there's always a lot of pressure on me.
She already has the music theme that she has to try
this
to
is true.
Stump
exactly.
With.
How many songs have the word
haiku
in the title, by
and
the way?
And not get
none that I know.
Ridiculed in the process. which typically happens.
I'm so used to the ridicule.
You don't typically ridicule, Lauren.
I don't think I do. I typically speak freely here,
Lauren.
No, you. Recently, it's been much better. There have been times where
I used to ridicule.
Yeah, maybe.
Only when you deserve it, though.
Absolutely.
Anyone
consistently I'm okay with it.
Ridicules the theme of the day. It's you, Mark.
Wow.
You know, right. I agree with you.
He ridicules everything about this show. This Dayton football history. He's always throwing that under the bus completely. Mm-hmm. Has no interest. The haiku contest, no interest whatsoever. The fact that Tony and I are two dudes that he has to come and
Mark's crotchety
with every week.
I don't, listen, I love Helmet and Heels.
Did you listen last night?
And Heels. I caught the tail end.
Last night?
Aaron Colvin.
I knew the
answer. I was asking Mark.
Aaron Colvin.
Who's your special guest?
And Gandalf, apparently.
Gandalf. That's true.
What's the story with that?
I missed that.
So, Blythe dressed up as Gandalf to go to the Hobbit premiere.
Yeah.
She was Gandalf the Grey. She had a big grey robe. She had a light up staff and she had a grey witch hat kind of thing.
Hey.
You know what it is?
I bet fantasy football people are geeks.
That's right.
There are a bunch of nerds.
I'm glad she had the staff because if you walked around in a grey robe and a pointy hat, that's just weird.
That's true. I would have fallen asleep in the movie theater.
The staff completes the outfit.
Yeah, I don't know that the staff
It really ties it all together.
What is and that show lead, you guys like watch? That you guys...
What's that show we watch?
Yeah, that show.
The Walking Dead?
No, the other one.
I don't know.
The one
Sons
about
of
war.
Anarchy just ended.
The one about war.
What about war?
I don't know. I thought it was. There's some nerdy show you guys watch.
About war.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Are you talking about the video game Clash of Clans?
Where they wear hats?
No, I do know about Clash of Clans a little bit, only because Sindarik Marks and Roy Miller play it.
Yeah,
it's the only reason
they're nerds too.
Apparently,
you know what? They're two very wealthy nerds, is what they are. Good for them. Congrats to Roy Miller.
TV show about war.
Maybe it's Sons of Anarchy. It's not Sons of Anarchy. That's not.
Yeah, they don't walk around with the gray robes either.
What's the Sunday night one? The
Walking Dead.
No.
Homeland.
No.
That's Sunday. What? You roll your eyes at me. That's what I watch
on
Sunday night.
He's going through his Sunday night lineup.
That's what's on Sunday night. And that's
what's the one that's like that's got the little person who's got the. They're all. It's
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, thank you.
Why Peter
is that
Dinklage.
A nerd show.
That's
like one of the most popular shows.
It's
on
a very nerdy show.
Total. Thank you.
It is a nerdy show.
There you go.
Although Khaleesi.
Listen, I don't want to go down that road. I'm just saying. You guys are ones to talk about Blythe being a nerd.
Talk about Blythe? Oh, was Blythe the one who dressed up last night? Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes.
How did you miss it? Who did you think dressed up?
I didn't hear her say Blythe. I just thought she said...
She did
said,
the show in...
Just the very last
segment.
I
thought you guys were like on remote and there was someone out and about.
We were on remote.
Went through the show to go change into the Gandalf costume and then came back to go to the premiere.
I missed that whole part right there.
You know how much I love Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all this stuff, and I will be going to see it tonight because I was working last night and didn't get the opportunity to go see the premiere of it. But
he's upset.
Somebody call in and give him some spoiler alerts.
I do not do that. I know what's gonna happen. I've read the book, but I've never dressed up for one. I've never done that in my life. Yeah. I'm really impressed.
I'm calling BS. I think he has.
Rocky Horror? Any of that?
Something
no.
down the
no.
road.
The most I've ever done, I'll wear like a Spider-Man t-shirt to go see a Marvel movie or something.
What about
like that.
Theme party at the house? Viewing party at the Smith residence?
No.
I don't believe that for a second.
I believe he's got some pajamas. I believe he's got a bunch of pajamas.
All right. We will actually talk about Blake Bortles' sore foot today a little bit.
Oh, good.
Roy Miller got a kick contract. I think that was pretty wise. As a matter of fact, when I talked to him last week about that, he indicated he hoped that was going to happen, and we'll hear what he had to say about that going forward. If you want to weigh in today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks you, now that Roy Miller's got his deal, who's the next Jaguar you think is deserving of a contract extension? The Stark meter is on high alert today because I've already gotten let off by Carson Tinker and Brian Anger. So they're going right to the special team specialist. Right
weapons.
There.
Weapons.
Without question. So whoever that happens to be for you, Sindarik Marks got his in the offseason. Roy Miller got his. So I think certainly two quality free agent signings by Dave Caldwell that have panned out very well.
Yeah, no question. I think they're both playing at an unbelievable level. Marks with 7.5 sacks from a defensive tackle position is very impressive. And Miller, although the numbers aren't there, he only plays about 34 snaps a game, but very productive in run stopping. This team's really done did a better job early in the year of stopping the run, but you know, they've been very good defensively, and he's a part of it.
Yeah, he's healthy this year. It's a big difference.
Yes, and you know, he wasn't bad last year, and he played with a really bad shoulder.
So there you have it. All right, Mark Long, the journalism major who's never heard of a haiku, will help us judge later on today the Jaguar haiku-themed entries that could win you a pair of tickets tomorrow night's final home game of the season, Jags and the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into Blake Bortles and the sprained foot. We'll take your phone calls today if you want to get on board at 641-1010. Tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday just getting started. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Creedence, Green River. I'm thinking. Anybody named Green or anyone named River?
Money. Rivers. Green is money.
Oh, there you
money.
Go.
Money.
Attaboy.
Roy Miller.
See? I was afraid it was a little too easy.
Should I praise her for the theme? Like I always do.
You always praise her for the theme?
Yeah. When it's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Green River. Roy
Thank
Miller's
you.
Got one flowing right now. I don't know how much. I don't know how wide it is, but
16 million.
He was awesome. He was awesome yesterday. I don't know if you guys have audio of it.
Yeah.
But just talking about, you know, he's been renting in Jacksonville, and you know, now he really gets. He's going to go buy a place, and he's like, I don't think I'm going to go live in Sendarek's neighborhood.
Nah.
Sendarek lives not too far from Gus Bradley in that area, and but he's like, you know, I'm definitely going to go buy a place now. So, and he, I mean, tears in his eyes talking about what this means for him and his family, and you know, couldn't wait to call his wife and you know, share the news. He hadn't done it yet. They had. So I don't know how. We still don't really know how it works. Somebody told the players that he had signed, that he'd gotten his contract done. I don't know if it was Gus or Dave or Ryan Robinson. One of those guys had told the players. So when Roy Miller walked into the locker room, they were all just waiting on him, hooting and hollering and high fiving and handshakes and hugs, and it was a cool scene. So, you know, because, I mean, for these guys, it really is the, you know, outside of winning a title, it's the one real, the one real justification for everything you do is getting rewarded financially.
Well, yeah.
The main justification, probably
it's
even more so.
It's your profession, whatever,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I think winning the Super Bowl for a lot of guys means a lot.
I mean, imagine if the independent Florida Alligator came to you and said, Mark, we want to hire you. You would say, wow, I have finally arrived.
The
this
independent Florida Alligator. Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Right? Why is that unbelievable?
Why, did you just Google that?
No.
Did you Google that? How did you know that?
What do you mean, how did I know that? Why would I not know that?
Okay. Do you know the JU student paper?
I do not.
Okay. How about the UNF student paper?
I do not.
How about the Florida State student paper?
I do not.
Okay, so why would you know? Why would I assume that you know the Florida? You didn't go to Florida?
Why? Right, but why would you assume?
So why would I assume that you know that you knew the Florida?
Well, for one thing.
That's why you don't know a single other student paper in the world, it doesn't sound like. But you know the independent Florida Alligator. Where I work.
I used to know the Flagler student paper.
And now you don't.
I don't know the Flagler
exactly.
student paper.
Exactly. That's awful.
You want to know why? Hacker hooked up with a really.
Of course he did.
Interesting young lady from the independent. Florida Alligator back on an SEC Media Days trip, and it is
he still talks about
scarred
it?
All of our memories. No, it's burned into my memory.
What
banks.
Year are we talking?
Oh, this is 6-7 years ago, Tony. Sound about right?
Sounds about right.
Something
yeah.
like that. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the exact time frame. It was jarring.
Well, I mean, the reason I say that is I mean, I've been in Gainesville now for
sure. She had a great personality.
I've been in Gainesville for 10 years, so I know everybody who's come through the Alligator, worked with them. To
oh,
degree.
Well, we'll talk
so,
later.
So I'm assuming I know this young lady.
You might.
And so that makes it more intriguing.
Is it? All right. Yeah. I'll maybe you can guess later. Could have been her.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if I can find any photos of her online. But
we'll look.
There's photos of everybody
we'll
online,
look.
Pretty much. Here's what I've got for you. We're going to hear from Roy Miller in a second, but I've got a $25 gift card to Levy Jewelers located on the Circle under the clock at the St. John's Town Center, Jacksonville's exclusive provider of Breitling watches, and where you'll find the best selection of jewelry and timepieces this holiday season. If you have slacked on getting your significant other a Christmas present, this may be the opportunity. $25 gift card to Levy Jewelers to caller number 3 at 641-1010. So get those phone lines ringing. Lauren will get to you momentarily. In the meantime, I did have a chance to talk to Roy Miller, coincidentally enough, last week for the pregame show, and asked him specifically about, you know, with his contract coming up, has he given a whole lot of thought to contract extensions, where his mind was on that. This is what he had to say at the time.
I'm looking forward to coming back. I want to be here. I want to retire here. I love it here. I've been in Florida for about 6 years now, and I really like this team. I like where it's going. I like the foundation that we have. And so you put all those things together, I think Jacksonville is a great place to raise a family. I'd love to be here. And so I don't really like to get into all those details and all the things about contracts and all that. I let those guys handle that. But for me, I definitely want to be here. I definitely want to be a part of this team. I love Duval, and I just want to finish here.
You gotta love to hear that if you're a Jag fan, you know? I mean, cause this is a guy who came in and he's playing well and probably could have gotten a market for his services out there. And he wants to stay with the team despite the fact that they're a 2-win team, because he believes in Gus Bradley, believes in the coaching staff, believes in the group of players that they have around him, and believes they can get it turned around. Loves the city of Jacksonville like many others who've come before him, you know, former Jaguars that have made this their home. So, I just thought it was pretty cool. I assume at that point in time, the negotiations were deep into it. I doubt Dave Caldwell heard the pregame show and said, hey, why don't we sign this guy?
He wants to get that deal done.
Let's get this done, and we'll get it done in 2 days. But it's nice to hear that kind of attitude and that it got rewarded.
And that's a very common theme around this locker room, is that these guys, they believe in what's going on, and they see it coming to fruition. I know it's tough for everybody outside of that locker room to see it. It's tough for us to see it. I mean, it is, because you don't see the progress. You don't see a lot of steps being made week to week or even month to month. And if anything, they're regressing in some areas. So it's tough to see, but those guys, they see it, they feel it, they think it's going to happen. Sendarek said the same thing week in and week out. Cecil Shorts, interestingly enough, the writing's on the wall with Cecil, and he's saying last week, he's like, I've been through the bad times. I want to be here when this thing takes off, and it's going to take off. I know it's going to take off. And he's like, I will be really disappointed if I'm in another NFL city and it takes off, and I'm not on the ride.
Right. For that, it looks increasingly likely.
Yeah, they asked me yesterday on the afternoon guys asked me yesterday.
XL primetime, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM, noon to 3 weekdays.
Asked me which of these three, who's most likely to return, Paul Posluszny, Cecil Shorts, and Mercedes Lewis. And I said Paul Posluszny, hands down. It's not even close. Paul Posluszny is a guy they're going to bring him back at that price, unless something crazy happens in the draft. They're going to bring him back and pay him to be the middle linebacker, move JT Thomas back to that auto position, and go at it like that. The other two are,
or find a new auto and let JT Thomas be, you know, the swing.
Maybe,
your
yeah,
fourth
maybe
linebacker.
He played pretty well at that auto.
Oh, he
position,
has. He so has.
He can run. And, you know, maybe Telvin Smith becomes the full-time auto. Who knows what they do there. But the other two guys, Cecil and Mercedes, are highly, highly unlikely to come back. Cecil would have to take, you know, a deal, I think, that would be almost next to nothing.
Right, like a one-year, close to minimum.
Well,
salary.
I don't even know if it, yeah, 1 or 2 years, you know.
Yeah, maybe even, right, it'd behoove the Jags more to sign him to a 2-year deal. Because
right.
Then if he does bounce back,
sure.
Then you've got him under contract.
But then Mercedes, the problem with that is, you know, the guy, first off, he's dropping balls. Now he's playing with a bad finger, which is, you know, problematic. But, he's missed time the last 2 years, and the drops aren't there, the production's not there, and the price tag is over the top. So again, now I'll say this, tight ends like him, from that size and that got inline ability, and he can make some plays in the passing game, aren't readily available. So they don't grow on trees, they're not easy to find. So, you know, you might be in a situation where you can't replace him in free agency or the draft, and maybe you're stuck there a little bit.
You can afford him if you wanted to.
Absolutely, yeah.
To keep him at that price. And I don't know if you'll find you know, if I would think if they prioritize bringing in a tight end, it's going to be a guy that can help you more in the passing game, right? And more we're seeing less two-way tight ends in the National Football League, right? I mean, sure. You've got some. Gronk is a very good physical blocker as well as an impact player, but too many or a lot of, I guess I should say, finesse tight ends. Julius Thomas, for instance, is not the guy that they lean on in the running game. Virgil Green is more that guy for the Denver Broncos. But, you know, I think that's the higher sought-after commodity. You can find a sixth tackle, you know, a sixth offensive lineman to play out there, that kind of tight end, I would think, if they want to go that route. You'd just like to have it all encompassed in one guy. Because
right.
it makes you less predictable, depending on what personnel's out on the field.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and I did not know this until yesterday, they can't, by NFL rules, renegotiate those contracts unless they're up against the salary cap. So they can't go and legally ask, not Cecil, but legally ask Posluszny and or Mercedes to redo their deals unless they're cap-strapped.
Really?
Really.
So they'd have to either cut them or keep them at that price.
They would have to cut them or keep them. So you could cut them, and then they're free agents, and maybe you work a deal like a Jason Babin, where they cut Babin and they brought him back at a lesser deal
right.
a few days later. So maybe it's a situation like that. But
in cutting him, they have the freedom to go somewhere else and
absolutely.
They get a better offer.
Absolutely. And,
when you're a veteran like that and you get cut, you're not subject to the typical free agent timetable.
You're free to go wherever
you
want.
Immediately.
And for Mercedes, there's, you know, 30 teams that would be closer to his child and his family on the West Coast. So I think you probably feel jaded a little bit too when you get cut. So at that age and, you know,
yeah, it depends
what
on how much
think,
game you think you have left.
Yeah. And I think Jason Babin, you know, realized this was a pretty good situation and liked it and just wanted to come back here. And then, So I don't know if that would be the case with Mercedes and or, you know, I throw Paz in the same boat because a lot of people think, well, they should just restructure Paz and they should restructure Mercedes. Well, it's not, you can't do it. You just can't do it because you want to do it.
That's interesting that you don't have the,
learn something new every day.
The
look
flexibility.
At
flexibility. Absolutely. I mean, you learned, about the existence of a thing called a haiku.
I have yet to learn about. I just know it's 575.
Right. You haven't heard them, but you've learned about their existence. You learned that I know what the independent Florida alligator is.
I'm stunned that you know what the independent Florida alligator is.
Why is it the if it's the
because
school
they're,
paper?
Well, no, it's not. It's completely independent of the school.
Then why did you ask me if I knew what JU school paper was?
Well, just because
it's not the same thing.
Because it's
that's
independent.
That's how I know.
It's still run by students for the most part.
Okay, but
it's not
a school publication.
It is not a school publication.
That's
zero,
how I
$0 from
it's an independent, hard-hitting piece
of
journalism.
There's a lot of independent school papers that want to be not be the, under the thumb
I'm
of the...
I'm a fan of the independent Osceola.
You made that up.
You don't know.
Oh,
just because you don't know what the paper
I
is
actually
called.
Do know.
What's it called?
The Florida State?
Yeah, the Independent Tomahawk.
No, it is called the Osceola.
Is it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I think.
See? All right, moving on. We'll come back and ask a question that you're probably not going to want to hear asked regarding tomorrow night's game, but we'll ask it anyway and take your calls if you want to weigh in, 641-1010. We will give away a pair of tickets later on. We will educate the Florida grad on what a haiku is.
I just educated you on the NFL rules.
You did, absolutely. Okay. I'm not above being educated.
I appreciate the
education. All right. Duval Doom thought he heard me say you went to Georgia.
Same thing.
Started throwing
Georgia
Southern smack at you, which I think actually applies better now that he knows you go to Florida. So that works as well. All right. Tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL. Fat Tony will be back in a moment on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. ZZ Top just got paid. Congratulations.
Nice job, Lauren and Roy.
Roy can move into Mark Long's neighborhood now.
He
finally,
he can buy
I don't think
house.
He wants to drive that far every day.
No.
No, but if he wanted to.
But then he could read the Independent Alligator every day if he lived in Mark Long's
anyway.
Neighborhood.
I'm sure.
Looking at the Roy Miller deal, by the way, last year, we were on the golf course with Brent Martineau when Senderic got the new contract. I don't know if you remember that, but we were out playing golf the day that he agreed to that contract. Brent had to leave to go cover Senderic Marks. And I asked then, and
Tony and I are like, we're not going.
No, we're not leaving. But the same question that I ask now, before Senderic Marks, honestly, this team, when was the last time that they had signed a free agent and then re-upped that free agent? It's just not something this organization has done a whole lot of, is find pieces outside of this city and say, yeah, we want to commit to these guys for 5 or 6 years after we've seen them for a year or two. I bet
it's pretty uncommon across the board, though,
but
right?
I think that's how, you know, when you're trying,
you're
to
talking
rebuild,
about giving a guy a third contract,
right
when you're trying to rebuild, I think these are the types of guys that you have to find. They're getting really solid.
Well, they
along
went out
that defensive line.
Yeah, well, you got to remember how they did this. They didn't go out and look for big money free agents. Dave Caldwell identified some guys, and I've used this term a lot, and I get ripped for it. Stopgap guys who might be able to develop into guys, but they said, okay, we're going to bring these guys in, sign them to 1 or 2 year deals, and tell them, hey, listen, you play well and you prove yourself, we're going to give you a contract. He did it with, you know, they did it with Alan Ball. They did it they tried to do it with Forsett, and they certainly did it with Marks and Miller. And, you know, I think if you're hitting on even half of those guys or just a couple of those guys, that's doing pretty well.
Oh, absolutely.
For not going and getting the big name, big payday, high-priced, high-value free agents, you're going and getting some basements. And not bargain basement guys, but certainly you're getting some bargains, and you're letting them dictate their worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very smart. Yeah.
It is, if it pays off, and if they want to re-sign here. I mean, certainly you run the risk if a guy really blows up that he wants to go hit free agency and test his value around the National Football League. But I think they feel like if they bring him in here, they can sell them on their vision for the team. And I think that's something that's, look, it's when you're a Senderic Marks and you got a 1 year deal and that was your market in free agency, it's tough to turn down a 4 year contract extension. So you kind of are in a pretty good bargaining position if you're the team, but you still, you know, if you came in and it was a complete dumpster fire and dysfunction everywhere, you know, there are teams around the National Football you can point to that, you know, Washington and the Jets and that, you know, the Raiders, that you just feel like there's a lot of dysfunction going on there. You could see a situation where, yeah, money talks, but given an equal opportunity somewhere else, a lot of those people, I think, would like to be out of those situations. And that's the nice thing about Marks and Miller in particular. They went 4 wins to 2 wins, and he's as enthusiastic about the future, it sounds like, as anybody in the organization.
Yeah, no question. No question at all. It's, and again, being able to find building blocks from within is so much better for the franchise and from a financial standpoint than finding them from without. Because again, you know, you go back and look at that Beatles contract where they paid that guy, is it 5 for 30? 5 years, $30 million? I mean, that's not what these guys got anywhere close to that. But these guys are considered real building blocks for the next 4 years here.
Yep. Now the question I wanted to ask, which I think will be received poorly by a segment of the audience, is, does it benefit the Jaguars to win tomorrow? Does it benefit them more to lose than it does to win? Right? And you know why I'm asking this, because, you know, there are arguments on both sides. Tony made the argument yesterday that for a team as young as this is, it would help them to experience as much victory and success as possible, to learn how to close games and to have that experience. And I do think with a team this young, there's more of that benefit than there typically would be. But at the same time, whether they win this week or not, is that really going to help them week 3 next season? I don't know.
Yeah, I said it earlier, and I said it yesterday, that, you know, they want to win the final two games and carry that into the offseason. But how much of that can you really carry? And does it matter when you come back here in April that you won your last two games? I don't think it does.
And we're not talking about from their standpoint. Clearly, they want to win. They sure should do everything they can to win. That should be the organization's approach
goal
to it.
I don't question that
for a second. I'm just talking about put yourself clinically outside the situation if you can.
Then there's no question. The thing to do is to lose out. There's no question. I don't think anybody can make a legitimate argument that from a franchise standpoint and where you're at in the draft, where you'd be at in the Senior Bowl, where all of those things, that it would be beneficial, it would be more beneficial to win than to lose. Listen, the loser of this game, not only pretty much, it's not a lock by any means, but it certainly you put yourself in the driver's seat for the number one pick. The loser of this game, their coaching staff is probably a lock to go to the Senior Bowl. And that was unbelievably beneficial for this team last year, was coaching in the Senior Bowl. And you talk to anybody, you go and look at the draft picks they got on the second day and the third day, and a lot of those draft picks, guys like, I believe, Linder, and I certainly Colvin, two guys who've played pretty well, I think those are Senior Bowl finds that they may not have drafted had they not been coaching the Senior Bowl. So the loser of this game probably lands in the Senior Bowl again, and that can only help you in the draft. Loser of this game gets a higher pick, and when you're talking about having, you know, we all know the need and desire for a franchise quarterback, and there's two of them who seemingly will be, you know, in top five pick, top 20, top 10 pick for sure. You know, you want to be up there in case somebody wants to come up there and get them.
Right, I'm with you on that. I always want to be, even if there's no Andrew Luck, and there won't be an Andrew Luck in most drafts, but it doesn't mean there aren't a finite amount of what the general consensus would be to be top 10 values at the quarterback position. And whether you or I think it's crazy to take a chance on Jameis Winston that high, it's not crazy to think some team will think it's worth taking the chance, right? And again, we're talking about there are a lot of dysfunctional teams out there, and a lot of those teams need quarterbacks. So if the Jags lose, they're stuck on two. Tampa's also on two. They currently would be in the number one spot. It would go, oddly enough, Tennessee's ahead of Jacksonville right now. Obviously, that will change one way or the other definitively, because it's a multiple-way tie. If
right.
it were a head-to-head, the Jags would have lost. They'd
right.
be ahead. But because it involves four teams currently tied for that spot, that's not where the tiebreaker goes. Strength of schedule is strength of opponent, strength of loss, basically. The teams that beat you, the weaker collection of teams that beat you to give you the same record is going to give you a better draft position. So right now the Bucs would have the number one, but let's say they took Mariota. That leaves Winston, or vice versa. If there's a market for one of those quarterbacks, you want to be the seller. I totally agree with you, even if it means getting one more draft pick out of it. You don't have to get the RG3 haul. You don't have to get three firsts and a second.
Right.
You likely won't. But if you can get a pick, two picks later, and take the guy you likely would have taken anyway, or, you know, a reasonable facsimile thereof, I'm with you. So if you want to weigh in on that, Jag fans, look, I get it. You go to the games, and I think it's certainly a valid opinion. If you're a season ticket holder, you go to those games, you say, I just want to be entertained. I want to enjoy that day. I want to leave the stadium feeling good. That's your prerogative, you know? But I'm looking at more from a long-term perspective. I want them to have as high a draft pick as possible. I want everything, though. I don't want to have that experience where they lose to the lowly Tennessee Titans on Thursday night and come in here Friday and have to complain about it. So if they win, this isn't one of those situations, because they do feel like they have their quarterback. I don't think it's as critical to have it, but I'm greedy. Come draft time, I want all the draft capital I could possibly get, and I want to be the team in position to make that deal if it presents itself. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in on that. CJ up first today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, CJ. How are you?
Good morning.
What's up?
Yeah, I think we just need to pull the Dallas Cowboys and just invest in the offensive line. Like, get some strong offensive line that could block for the quarterback and set up holes for the run, and, you know, let our playmakers that we see that we got. You know, we got playmakers. They just need to kind of grow into it. And just when we get the right protection, they can mold even better and get us some wins. And y'all can take my comments off the air.
Yeah, listen, he's got a good point, and I think Dallas did it this way, drafting offensive linemen, but they didn't.
Three first round.
But they
guys.
Weren't drafting them in the top 10. Listen, when you're in the top 10, the common thinking is you need to get playmakers. Now, that may be a defensive end. It might sometimes be a cornerback, but for the most part, it's not offensive linemen. It is quarterback, receiver.
Well, it's left tackle. I'm not saying they're drafting a left tackle.
Maybe.
Lots of left tackles.
There are.
Going to the
no, there.
10.
Listen, there are a lot of left tackles going in the top 10. But I'm talking about when you're this team, when you're in this position, they need playmakers. And I don't. Drafting another left tackle, moving Jokel back to the right side.
I'm not suggesting that.
Is not
I'm just
the
saying,
answer.
I'm just saying those guys do get drafted consistently in the
oh,
top
sure,
10.
Sure. But not. But I'm just saying they've already drafted their left tackle.
I gotcha.
And so I don't see any scenario in which they go back down that road.
I heard Tony on this morning with Jeff Prosser. We've talked to Loggeman about this. I've heard both of those guys weigh in. I just, at this point in time, I don't think they're going to make a major move to try to replace one of the four guys from left tackle through right guard. I just don't see a major move. Linder, are you going to try to upgrade? I mean, Linder's playing fantastic by all accounts, right? Jeff keeps telling us that Polanco's playing better than any drafted center in the National Football League from all the ones he's watched on film this year. He hasn't seen a rookie center playing better than Luke Polanco.
He got manhandled Sunday.
At time, you know, it depends on what you, there were occasions,
yeah.
Right? But I think they overall.
I mean, more often than not, he won those battles, but that's what you get as an offensive lineman. You know,
but he also gave up that sack that, like the very first one, right, where he lets Jernigan go. That's supposed to be a screenplay.
Right.
And Daryl Smith gets a hold of Storm Johnson, and the whole play gets busted up. So it's Belanco's guy, but his job is to get a piece, then let him go, slow him up for a half second, then get out in the pattern and be a lead blocker for the screen. And that's what he did, and that's the guy who ends up getting Bortles because Blake needs to throw the football away when the play's blown up.
Dirt the ball, yeah.
So, you know, there's I think there were several of those sacks this week that were you could point to in a lot of directions on where the ultimate blame may have gone. But getting back to his,
I think that this team will try to fortify that offensive line and bring in some depth, maybe three or four. I would not be surprised to see them bring in three or four free agents, offensive line free agents, just to try to upgrade. Because again, go back and look. They thought the names are escaping me. Cam Bradfield and Mike Brewster were going to be pieces. Now, maybe,
did they really think that tried to sign Alex Mack? I mean,
But after they didn't get Max, they had settled that Brewster was. They thought going into preseason that they were going to be okay with Brewster.
They thought he was the best of what they had.
Sure, but they didn't go. They didn't go try to draft. Or they did, but not
right.
Not
but
early.
I mean, but that's the thing. You had so many needs on this team. If they had drafted a guy, like who was it, Travis Frederick, right? Was he one of the guys
that
came
center,
out this
yeah,
year?
That was the
was
one.
Was that this year or was that 2 years ago?
I think that was this year, and the Cowboys took all kinds of heat for that pick, by the way.
Right, but had they done that, had they drafted a center in the second round, I don't think anybody would have been shocked after they tried to sign Alex Mack.
Yeah,
right. They just had other, look, they needed playmakers, a wide receiver, what have you. I don't think they felt necessarily that Brewster was going to be all of a sudden some great player.
But I'm just saying, like, when you're lining up your 8 or 9 offensive linemen for your 53-man roster, they thought that Cam Bradfield and Mike Brewster would be in that, maybe not starting, but they thought
among
they were
the top 8 or
yeah.
9 guys.
And it turns out that those two guys totally underperformed and
correct.
Ended up on the street.
But do you think they're going to spend significant? I mean, because to me, if
maybe
you,
not significant
you
money.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Well,
I mean,
but you don't
are
have
they going to sign a guy to bring him in to basically make him a starter? Are they going to sign some vet that you can come in and compete? And if you happen to push this guy out, you push him out. But we're not going to sink a bunch of money into you. When you sign Beatles to the contract, you sign him.
You're
last
starting
year.
Him.
You're
yeah.
starting him.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think not a Beatles kind of signing, but somebody to upgrade Sam Young. Somebody to upgrade.
That's the right tackle. I agree with that.
Somebody to upgrade Tyler Shatley, possibly.
And now, this date in football history.
Mark Long's favorite, folks. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. It was December 17th, 2000. San Francisco wide receiver Terrell Owens set a new NFL single-game receiving record at the time with 20 catches. And the 49ers 17-0 win over Chicago.
It got broken.
It did. Jason Witten, right?
I thought that Marshall did it too. I know Marshall had 21 in a game.
Witten might not have had 20. We were looking at this list like last week, weren't we? I can't recall it. I can recall what a haiku is, however. 283 yards and a touchdown. Tom Fears held the old mark at the time in 2000. If Tony wants to look it up, he's welcome to. I at the moment.
I'm there. Brandon Marshall with 21 against the Indianapolis Colts.
What did Witten
Colts.
Have, like 18?
And Witten had 18. That's tied for third.
Tied for third with Tom Fears.
Fears and Brandon Marshall.
And Terrell Owens sitting in there in second place with 20, courtesy of his big game 14 years ago today. This date in football history, Mark.
Exciting.
I know
exciting.
It is. I know. You know what? Jeff Logman gets so much more in the spirit of this date in football history. We discuss the players and
He has
the
stories
and the memories.
Usually about somebody.
Come in here. Do a little research, man. Do a little homework for once. Come on. Best Fence Company, their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price and give you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The San Diego Chargers will not be moving to Los Angeles next year. The team is on a year-to-year lease with Qualcomm Stadium in the city that gives them a three-month window every year starting in February to opt out if the team chooses to do so. The team's front office announced the decision to stay in San Diego for at least another year and continue working to find a stadium solution within the city. That's now 14 straight years without any solution being found for them as far as a new stadium. As an interesting side note to this story on the article on ESPN.com, it was mentioned that San Diego is still keeping a close eye on what's happening in L.A., of course, and noted that despite the team not being located there, 30% of the team's local revenue, which is advertising, sponsorships, club seats, suites, comes from L.A., comes from the L.A. area, not the San Diego area. So just an interesting number there. And Todd McShay today released his first mock draft of the season.
It's time.
Number one, Tampa Bay taking Marcus Mariota at quarterback. Number two, the Tennessee Titans he has in there at two, Jameis Winston. So the two quarterbacks come off the board, 1-2.
And let me just say, Duval Doom tweeted that it's important for the Jags to win tomorrow night, so Tennessee can have Jameis Winston to assure them of getting Jameis Winston. He apparently is not a believer that he will be successful in the NFL.
Number three, the Jags come in at number three. They select Leonard Williams, defensive end out of USC. Here's what he had to say about the pick. The Jaguars have a much bigger need on the offensive line than on the defensive line, and overall the defense is in much better shape than the offense. But there's too much of a talent gap between the D-linemen and top O-linemen prospects in this draft, and the Jags could afford to get younger at the position with Red Bryant already 30 years old. Williams is the number one prospect on our board, with excellent strength and speed for his size, and he'd fit as a five-technique defensive end in Gus Bradley's scheme. The Jags could also go with an edge rusher here in Nebraska's Randy Gregory, a name we've heard a lot, or Missouri's Shane Ray, or with a big-time playmaker at wide receiver in Alabama's Amari Cooper. But Leonard Williams to pick there at number three, rounding out the top five, Oakland with Randy Gregory. At five, Washington with Shane Ray, and a note here, Atlanta, he has selecting Dante Fowler out of Florida. Number seven, Amari Cooper goes six to the Jets.
Yes, where Geno Smith will overthrow him his entire rookie season. That'll be great. It'll be great to watch. It'll be a great fit for all.
You know what? There'll be a ton of debate about this draft, and obviously we have months to debate this, but those defensive ends, there's just a number of them up there between Ray and Fowler and Randy Gregory and, is it Williams?
Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams
those is interesting because he would be kind of the Red Bryant type player.
Yeah, I don't know that you can take that guy in the top five.
Can you not? I don't know, man. Those guys don't grow on trees.
I mean, unless you feel really good about Branch and Davis at the Leo position.
Or you like the depth of maybe something you could get at the top of the second round, you know?
Yeah, possibly. I'm just saying that when you look at the number of defensive ends, talented defensive ends, productive defenses in college who are going to go in the top 10 there, you're either going to, somebody's going to miss on one, somebody's going to take the wrong guy.
Sure.
Somebody's not going to take one. You know, I mean, I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of intrigue about that.
Oh, and that's why I think, because there are several of them out there, that the trade down is such an enticing possibility. If you can get one of those top couple of spots and you can create a market for one of those quarterbacks, and, you know, it'd be tough to imagine them trading with a division rival in the Tennessee Titans to let them come up and get their quarterback of their choice. But maybe they take a little bit less to let somebody else jump into that spot ahead of Tennessee if it worked out
I think you probably, you let the Jets come get a quarterback.
Sure.
I mean, that seems like, the Jets seem like the pick. Washington.
Absolutely.
Another one. Those two teams with, you know, you would think the Jets are going to have a new head coach.
Oakland? If they want to go that
Oakland's
way, they're probably...
Oakland's not taking a quarterback.
Probably not. But
definitely
not. Well, if you have a new...
He's been the best of the best.
If you have a new
He's been the best of the rookies.
Did you watch him play this week? Weeks ago?
Okay, maybe you can maybe... case. He's been the best of the rookies. Best numbers.
Okay.
And
well, who's the best of the rookie class last year?
And he's
year?
Probably playing with the least talent.
Who's the best of the rookie class last year? Just because you're the best of the rookies doesn't mean you're... the future of, I mean, E.J. Manuel, was he the best of the rookies last year?
But I'm telling you, that's usually what franchises go, okay,
but if Jim Harbaugh
we,
is the coach of the Raiders,
guy,
isn't he going to want his quarterback, whoever that happens to be?
Maybe
he likes Derek Carr, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
That's my point, though. I mean, I think it's open. The possibility's open if a guy like Harbaugh comes in there and says, so-and-so.
Harbaugh's going to Miami, isn't he?
Wherever. I don't know where he's going.
But it goes back to the discussion y'all were having, we were having 10, 15 minutes ago about whether it behooves the Jags to win these last two games or not. Look, if Tampa and Tennessee are 1-2, then the odds of the quarterbacks coming off at 1-2 skyrocket in all likelihood, because those two teams we know will probably be looking at quarterback when it comes to the first round of the draft this year. So if those two teams are the ones that are in the 1-2 spot, then if you're the Jets or somebody like that, how do you even get in to try to go get your guy? Now, if it's Jacksonville that winds up in that spot, now you may have a trading partner if those quarterbacks are available. But if it's Tennessee and Tampa,
they're probably going to take those guys.
Right.
Right.
So if you want to get that trade, if you're Jacksonville, it would feel like you need to be ahead of those two teams. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, it starts for them on Thursday.
You probably need to be ahead of pretty much all but one team, because
right,
otherwise there are going to be two quarterback needy teams, or there's going to be a quarterback needy team and a non-quarterback needy team. Maybe Oakland doesn't want to draft a quarterback there, but then they're going to take advantage of the trading scenario.
Sure.
You know, so I'm with you. Look.
It's very beneficial.
First of all, I think they're going to win tomorrow. I just do.
I said it last week, by the way. Before Houston, I said it last week on the air. Go back to the tape.
We keep no tape.
I said before Houston lost Fitzpatrick, I said that they were going to win their final two games.
And you still feel that way now that the Case Keenum's on the case.
Well, yeah, I feel much better about
that. Do you?
With
they just signed Ricky Stanzi, though.
Ooh.
To the practice squad.
Okay.
A lot of knowledge. He's going to break down the Jags playbook for him.
You're
going to look
out
for that one. And I know you did. You called your shot.
I did.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it's best I've
done. We're all better for it. We're all better for it.
I called my shot and called out your grandmother's T-shirt.
He called out my grandma's not happy whatsoever. She called me when I got home.
Well, I listened to that, Mark Long.
It was an awful shirt she bought you.
It was a fantastic shirt. Thank
you,
Grandma.
Does she knit you sweaters for Christmas, too?
Sometimes.
All right. Good luck with that.
With big, all kinds of, winter Wonderland themes on them. Stuff
and
like
they,
that.
And they, hang off the shirt?
Oh, yeah, like appliques and different things. Just things, right, that are bonus things.
Did you just use the word
applique? I just
applique.
Use applique, yeah.
So you've used the words applique and haiku today.
Haiku is not obscure. Applique is a lot more obscure than haiku, I would say.
Fairly, both
except
fairly
to the sewing set, I guess. You know, I don't even know if that's the proper
term. We're just starting bringing in random people who walk by and
ask them with a high. I did that. Fortunato asked if you've ever gone
random.
To school.
Fortunato is not random.
What's not random about him? He was the guy I saw. I said,
he's
come
an educated, very smart man who's been here a number of years. And
what does that have to been here a number of years?
We're going to pick up the random 22-year-old intern who's
next
selling tickets.
Who walks by.
All right.
Next person who
walks
by.
We got to know their name so I can yell at them.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. Okay. That, hey. I try that in Vegas. It doesn't work very well.
No.
Hey. Well, actually, it does. It depends.
depends on who you're
yelling at.
Right. All right. We will come back and Mark Long will judge the mystery haiku contest and somebody be awarded. I don't know if you'll judge it. Maybe Lauren. We'll
maybe I'm not qualified to judge.
You're probably not.
If you don't know what a haiku is.
It's like, but you may not know what art is, but you know what you like, right? You can say, oh, that's ugly. That's not ugly, right?
That's right.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
In this case, the ear of the beholder. We'll give away a pair of tickets to the Thursday night encounter between the Jags and the Titans coming up next, courtesy of Foundation. That's Fortunato again.
It is a haiku. It is not hard to understand. Mark Long is unaware.
See? That was a haiku. He just did that in haiku form for you. What about that?
I thought you said it had to be 5 or 7 syllables.
5, 7, 5. 3 lines. First line's 5. It is a haiku. There's 5, right? It's not that tough.
I thought it was 7-syllable words. I had to have a 5-syllable word.
Is, that would be really difficult.
7-syllable words. All right.
Moving on.
Moving on. That's all you can use are 5 and 7-syllable words in your poetry. Someone's winning a pair of tickets. Somebody's going to be at fault or to thank I don't know who those people are at this point in time. Metro Rooter, we thank them. They are our Wednesday sponsor for all size plumbing jobs in home, at your business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it, restaurant, grease trap service, Metro Rooter, on the job, on the call, same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment, serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area, including St. Augustine. I should know. They help me out at my house when I'm in need. MetroRooter.com or call them at 695-1911. We'll continue Jaguars Today in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is my...
Is that how it goes? You clap, yeah, you cut.
Well, I just, it wasn't awkwardly. It was on beat.
Was it?
Yes. I think this is on my iPad.
Is it?
iPod.
Who is it? I mean, you're the one who downloaded it.
I know.
It,
I can't remember, though.
It's Fitty.
Oh, but that's why. Yeah, I have
Is that why?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of Fitty.
Yeah. You have a mental block when you download.
I did.
50 Cent. By the way, Dr. Stephen Lucy should be stopping by with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute in about 15 minutes. Timely injury report this week, Blake Bortles with the sprained midfoot.
Yeah.
And
got some questions for him.
Absolutely. And I look, if he's running around, if he's fine, roll him out there. You know, I think the organization's got a way, you know, the benefit of him getting more experience versus do you need him doing a couple months of rehab going into the off season? Is that the way you want to start your first off season in the National Football League, you know, as an incumbent starter?
Yeah, I don't want to spoiler alert, but apparently he is not at threat of like a Lisfranc injury, where Denard's sprain was threat of Lisfranc if he continued playing.
Spoiler alert, in other words, you expect Blake to play.
Absolutely.
That's good reporting.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert. Because these are things I want to ask Dr. Lucy.
Do you have to write that in the paper now? Spoiler alert.
Yes.
The Jaguars fell to the Baltimore Ravens.
You know where you do have to write it is when you're doing movie reviews on the AP Wire.
Why would you have to write? I mean, I would assume.
You need to let somebody know that don't read this if you're looking to find out how Return of the King ends.
King comes home. He comes back.
That's usually what Return of the King means. But,
right.
You know.
Maybe not in this case.
No. Maybe not.
Don't know. I can't remember. I didn't read that one. I read The Hobbit. Read it in high school. Couldn't tell you
what happened. You were too busy working on haikus.
I was, I probably wrote some Hobbit haikus back in the day.
A Hobbit haiku.
I don't
imagine.
Know. It's
riveting.
Possible. It's possible. Here are some of the submissions that do not qualify for whatever reason. Too many syllables in one of the lines. Or they work for 1010XL.
They came up with came up with an 8-syllable word.
No, although Tony just came up with 400 plus 7-syllable words.
Yeah, I knew a bunch of the old ones. The new ones are just a bunch of scientific.
Yeah, that necro one you just threw at us.
Oh boy,
that sparked a little off-air conversation. Here you go from the Jags, dude. Again, these are ones that don't qualify. Okay, better team than last. Fans locking down at the bank. We're Duval till we die. We're Duval till we die is way too many syllables for that last sentence. Duval till we die works fine for that last line, as others have noted. This one from Jag in Flight. Jackson loves his bike. He wants to ride it daily. Towels have Ebola. See? Now you're getting in the spirit right there. Boog Nasty just apparently said to heck with it. I'm not writing a haiku, but here's my entry.
Mm.
Titan Jaguar, are they mythical? No, just two teams lacking physical. Where art thou, Ruggiero? For these teams, they are bizarro.
Sounds like a bad pop song.
Who is Ruggiero? Is that Roger Goodell?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Is that? Where art thou, Ruggiero? All right. Beef sent this one in.
Oh, boy.
He's
beef?
Not
like beef?
Beef.
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 Okay.
Right. He's not eligible to win, but we appreciate the entry. The line is not good. Our poor Blake is a hot mess. Get Luke on the juice. See, that would have been in the ballpark. That would have been in the running.
One.
I like that. Let's see. Irish Jaguar says not officially entering because I can't go. Also because you can't count syllables. Jaguars teal and black, future looking, present lacking. Something about nature. I don't.
I don't think he finished it. I think he was going to put something in there about nature and then.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think he just.
Or was he being ironic? I don't know.
I think most haikus were about nature, weren't they? What that kind of the idea?
That may be it, right? They may have been nature poems back in the day.
That's their dad. This it's all coming into focus here as to why I don't know what the
Jacksonville Jaguars. This one reads from N.L. Kessler. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wait. Who's the author? That actually sounds like it could be a poet.
Or doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
E.E. Cummings here.
What is the name again?
N.L. Kessler.
N.L. Kessler.
Right.
Did she write the
Or it could be
Lord
N.L.K. Essler. It's all one word, so I'm going with N.L. Kessler. That's what I'm going with. Yeah, I believe she wrote the follow-up to Lord of the Rings. Jacksonville Jaguars, we believe in victory. Tennessee Titans suck. Okay? At some point, one of those lines, we believe in victory. No, Jacksonville.
Tennessee Titans suck. Is
that's
too
many.
Tennessee
six.
Titans. That's right. That's six. I counted them all out earlier. Young we are today. It is what it is for now. Future will be bright. That was from Jag and Flight, who said he can't win because he's in California. So there you go. This is also from him, straight pandering. Up early weekdays, Mike, Tony, Lauren, and all, Jaguars Today Show. Early? We're on the air at 10 o'clock, man.
He's West Coast.
Yeah, he's in California.
That's true.
7 a.m.
He is. Hashtag shameless suck up. That's a good point. Pitbull Copper had a strong entry. Couldn't count either. I cannot take it. What else can possibly even go wrong? That's like 50 syllables right there. What else can possibly even go wrong? At least no Tebow. That was nice, but he can't count. Let's see.
That's good. The last line.
Jags Press Box sends this one. My dear radio hosts, you have fought the good fight. Now on to the draft. And he couldn't count either because one of those lines.
The first one's bad.
Was it the first one? Yeah. My dear radio hosts. Yes.
Yeah, radio's
six.
Three.
All right, here are the submissions. Here are the ones that we're judging now. Tell me what stands out to you, all right? These are going to be really good. This one's from I'm a Know-It-All 89. Jag's not very good. At least I chill in the pool. Don't fret. Stash has plan. Okay?
There's, like it.
There's one. Jeff Gardner, 27. Should win, baby, win. I believe that we will win or at least score more. Okay? From Dustin Hollis, 307. Senderic is sick. Sip going to get his first pick. Just give me the ticks. Okay.
He's trying to rhyme, too.
He was trying to rhyme. From Cameron M., 1188, do not stress, Duval. We have suffered through it all. We will win next fall. Hashtag haiku of optimism. Bortles has risen. Thursday night football. Man, is it going to be fun. Tailgate, not the game. Okay, there's that. Let's see, from Mammoth Strength, Caldwell's three-year plan. Rookies everywhere. Next year is the year. Moving on. To hell with Nashville. You can have your Toby Keith. Where are your pools, son? Not bad. Better team than last. Fans locking down at the bank. Duval till we die. Pretty succinct. You're not impressed by any of this, are you?
No, I got two.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Two front runners.
This one from Doom. Who is an English major, by the way, he tells us.
At Georgia Southern?
He promised he would send me a picture of his degree. Titans suck always. Why is mascot a raccoon? Stupid Tennessee. That's pretty good. And he had to edit that one as well, because he had Titans suck forever.
Yeah.
And he can't count either. But the edited version makes it under the wire. Big Kello says, in Bortles we trust. Gonna whip some Titan butts, Duval, till we die. Now, those are the Twitter submissions that we're gonna judge. I also have some emails here. Let's see if I can get them up quickly. Nothing quick about this computer. However, I'll probably have to re-log in. Just what the Jags need, a date with clipboard Jesus. I smell a Jags W. Okay? I'll get these up here in a second. What are you leaning towards so far?
For me, it's Toby Keith.
Toby Keith?
Yep.
Mark?
Yeah, I got two. I like the one that rhymed.
Senderic is sick.
Senderic is sick. Yeah, I like Senderic is
Sip
sick.
Me too.
Sip going to get his first pick.
Give me the ticks.
And then I like the one right after that. I like the optimism one. The haiku optimism.
Haiku of optimism.
Haiku of optimism. Yeah, right. those are my two.
LB, where are you at right now?
1 and 1A.
I like the Cinderica Sick, and then I like the Toby Keith one as well. The Hell with Nashville.
So we got two for Cinderica, two for Toby Keith.
Two for Toby Keith. All right, here are a couple more under the wire here, see if this changes your mind on any of the previous ones that have come along.
You might be the deciding.
I may be the deciding choice here. You guys are trying to set me up. The streak is over. Jaguars are now favorites. Time to do your job. All right, you got that. You've got Jaguars set to pounce. Titans conflict. Blood is shed. Teal black victory. Okay, and that's one from Brian.
They're wearing all black, but
Titans beat by Geno. Clipboard Jesus equals fail. Go Jags, kick that tail.
Clipboard Jesus, by the way, 1-0 against the Jags this year.
Yeah, the lights sure shine bright. Fans excite for Thursday night. I hope we don't suck.
I like that.
It's kind of funny. It kind of sets you up for the punchline. And what else? Anything else? Titans blood will spill. A battle looms. Cold of night. Jaguars on the prowl. That's what I got.
I think
that's the most haiku-ish one we've gotten.
It was.
That last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very Game of Thrones. Yeah. You guys, I could see you two voting for that one.
Oh, one more.
Thrones have anything to do with haiku.
Very Game of Thrones.
It's a Japanese poetry form.
Game of Thrones-ish.
Tennessee is here, but the Jaguars have no fear. Kick some butt, go Jags. All right.
All right, we got our two. Right, you have to decide.
It's narrowed down to which one? The
Toby Keith and Cinderic Marks.
And the
I like that one I just said, actually. I'm changing my vote from Toby Keith to that very haiku-ish one there.
The very last one.
The next to last one, yeah.
The next to last one. So Toby Keith only has one vote right now. So you guys like the guy who's just outright saying, give me the tickets, please.
That's Cinderic one.
That's
yes.
Right. That's who you're
There's something to be
for.
Said for asking for what you want.
All right, Cinderic is sick. Sip going to get his first pick. Let me make sure this is Cinderic is sick. That's five. Sip going to get his first pick. That's seven. Just give me the ticks. There you go. Dustin Hollis, champion, winner.
There you go,
Dustin.
Now you got two votes. That way I don't have to be the bad guy for everybody else.
Bad guy for
bringing up this whole thing.
Or what if I scrounge up another pair of tickets?
No, we're not going to do that, actually. I know what you're talking about. You hold your horses.
So the poor Toby Keith guy got screwed by Tony.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, Toby Keith, I probably would have sided with the Toby Keith guy.
Read that one again. This is obviously the runner-up.
All right, runner-up situation here.
And you can send your hate mail to Tony.
I can get the runner-up a size small tank top.
Perfect.
Here,
just tell him not to send a picture.
To hell with Nashville. You can have your Toby Keith. Where are your pools, son? See, that's kind of funny.
I like the fact that he put son at the end. That is funny.
It is funny. We've already awarded them.
Yeah.
We've already. It's too late now. You guys have blown it. You've blown the judge.
I didn't blow it.
Wide open. The Russian judge has spoken. You can all hate him.
Blame Tony, by the way.
You can blame me all you want.
Yeah, Tony.
Because Tony changed his vote.
I'll tell you right now.
I could overrule all of
you. And you were going to go Toby Keith.
I was probably going to go Toby Keith. So I would have broken the tie to Toby Keith.
Well, there you go.
But instead, we're going to go with Dustin Hollis, 307. Cinderic is sick. Sip going to get his first pick. Just give me the ticks. There you go. You shameless pandering. I can't believe shameless pandering wins the day. But it does. That's not even pandering. That's a shame. Blatant just... Give me the tickets. I'm not even interested in writing a third line here. Sometimes I do. Dr. Stephen Lucy is coming up next. He's going to talk about Blake's sore piggy and what he risks or doesn't risk by playing on Thursday Night Football. We'll do that next with our Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Injury Report. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, there you go. Thanks to Foundation Professionals of Florida, by the way. They're the ones providing the tickets this week in conjunction with yours truly. How about that? It'll be my name on the ticket.
No.
That's my season ticket, baby. It's going out. Section 213, haven't used them. I've used them. Put it this way. Somebody has used them every week. Hasn't been me. I'm still here. I'm just supporting the team more. It's what I do. You okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Good. Foundation Professionals of Florida, if you have issues.
Was your seat empty when I tweeted a picture of it?
when did you tweet a picture of my seat? No, you were tweeting, my seat is on this side of the stadium, the west side.
Did the people abandon those seats when?
Oh, no, not 213.
Not when they when it got a little
balls
chilly?
To the wall.
A little chilly and a little wet?
Chilly. Let me know when it gets a little chilly, all right? We're 213, all right?
All right, sorry I interrupted your spiel.
That's all right. If you have an issue with your home's foundation, Mark, I'd encourage you to call 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. What's that? Hi to Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how you doing?
Good. Good to be back.
Hi, Mark. Have this conversation.
I think the conversation starts with, you know, midfoot sprain. That's how it's diagnosed. Last week, we hear midfoot sprain and Denard Robinson goes on IR. This week, Blake Bortles has a midfoot sprain and he's going to play. By all accounts, it looks like he's going to play. So, you know, trying to just differentiate, you know, why they're both midfoot sprains and what's the difference between the two and how Liz Frank plays a factor.
Okay. A couple of things. You know, part of it gets down to this. Well, Doc, is it fractured or is it just broken? And we get that all the time. And you know, both of them are the same thing. Is it a sprain or is it a ligament tear? Same deal. Sprains are graded, as we've talked about on this show many times. The grade one sprains, partial or stretches, two's a little more severe partial tears, and three's complete tears. So you got severity of injury. And in the case of between Denard and Blake Bortles, you have sprains, although in the middle of the foot, there are a bunch of bones in there, and there's sprains of ligaments between the Blake's is more on the outside of the foot, Denard's more on the inside of the foot. So a different area. The Lisfranc can be a really devastating injury if it completes and becomes unstable. And in Denard's case, they didn't want to risk that, and they wanted to rest him. And by the time they rested him, they would say, you know, I'm not even sure we're going to have any games left. With this, a milder sprain, a different area, so a different joint, not the Lisfranc joint at all, but a different joint. And from what I can tell, you know, they're going to see, it's going to be a day-by-day deal, see how he comes, because, you know, he's a mobile guy. He's needed to be mobile. And I'm sure that that's going to be a factor in their determination of whether he can play, is if they think he can protect himself and move around well enough to protect himself with the rushes that he's been seeing.
And but in terms of long term, I mean, this doesn't seem like anything that without any further setback. I mean, what are we talking about? A couple weeks of rest after the season, back to normal, a little bit longer. What's the typical prognosis?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, mild sprain, mild ankle sprain, mild wrist sprain, all these things. You know, we've all had them, and they all typically get better. Now, the thing with sports medicine. Can he be worse if he goes back? Well, it's hardly anything that, other than a mild bruise that you can't make worse. But at the same time, it's a wrist thing. And as long as the player is moving well, feels good, you know, you don't want to hold somebody out on the come. You want to hold them out because you either think their injury is more severe than it looks or they can't protect themselves or perform at a certain level.
For you, again, we've mentioned this from time to time throughout the season, but now as we're drawn to a close, pretty typical year injury-wise, volume of injuries for this football team, a little less, a little more. How do you look at it?
You know, I think the thing that we've talked about that stood out this year is I think that there's been more muscle pulls than usual, but perhaps, you know, I don't know of any really severe knee ligament injuries, ACLs, PCLs, bad injuries that you hear about. So I think on the severe side, we've been better, but on the muscle pull side, maybe a little worse, but as we've remarked, that seems to be a bit of a lig epidemic also, so I don't know if it's just us. It just seems like to me that we've had a little more than expected.
With the cracked metacarpal, is it metacarpal in the hand, right? Metatarsal in the foot?
That's correct.
Cracked metacarpal for DeMarco Murray. How effective can he be if they find a way to put some kind of a brace on the back of his head? How would you deal with that if you've got that injury, or would that be a situation you'd expect him not to play this week?
Well, again, it's like what we've been talking about. Pain is a factor. You know, if it hurts too much to do your job, he'll be held out. Then it becomes, can you do your job with the brace or cast that you have to go in because you don't want to send a player out there with a club. The referees make them pat it, and that makes it bigger. And then with any of the defensive, even the offensive guys, they need to hold on to something. And if they don't have finger ability to do that, that affects it. Sometimes on the D-line, guys, they're good. But other times, it's not worth it.
Mercedes Lewis, I think he dislocated a finger.
Right.
And how difficult is that for him? And he was talking about having to wrap it up this week.
Well, usually just that middle joint and the fingers, they do that all the time. And you tape it to the other finger and they're good to go. Thumb's a little different. Yeah. And in the thumb, you've got to protect it in some kind of splint. Again, same with what we're talking about. Obviously will affect pass catching. May or may not affect his blocking ability.
Lauren Brooks has the slowest healing dislocated finger in history. Just got hers put in the cast today. When did you hurt your
finger? This is my second cast. I heard it in August.
So
it's in a, slow, it's in a longer cast.
What are we talking about? Cutting the hand off at the wrist is the next step, Doc? What do you think?
I smell a lawsuit, Doc.
It doesn't sound good.
All right. Well,
Dr. Lucy, I see Dr. Kate. Do we need to rough him up?
I'll personally do it myself.
Dr. Stephen Lucy is one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, I will say a Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. Right now, we appreciate you coming in all season long. You're more than welcome to stop by as Lauren and Jessica are hosting next Wednesday, but that will leave up to you. Tony and I probably not going to give a whole lot of thought to the injury report after we check out on Tuesday of next week.
Nope.
I'm guessing. All right, Doc, but
all right,
happy holidays to you. We'll see you in the new year.
Thank you, and to you and all your listeners.
You got it, buddy. There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Today, fan feedback spotlight, we asked you in the wake of Roy Miller getting his contract done yesterday, which Jaguars next in line deserving of a contract extension? Tony, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Brandon. Allen Ball, he's a good cornerback, and we need a vet back there, or JT Thomas because of his ability to go at outside linebacker or middle linebacker. From Nick, Ryan Davis, our best young pass rusher, hashtag hit squad. From Eric, it's a great question. I really don't know. Maybe JT Thomas, Will Blackman. From Paul, anger, hashtag weapon. From Brock, the banger. You got to keep that kind of weapon on lockdown. Hashtag punters are people too. Hashtag third round for what? Hashtag am I doing this right? And from at Irish Jaguar, there's a few, but Allen Ball is the vet presence that the secondary requires.
I got a few on Facebook. Tyson Alualu gets a vote. A couple of votes, actually.
That's interesting.
For Tyson Alualu, as someone said, he's been solid as a rock. Throw him some cash. Let's see. Obviously, Derek Kolbach says won't be extending any of the draft picks for another year or two. I agree with that, but there are other guys coming up. Will Blackman, another vote as one to consider. And then anger in all seriousness. He's finally living up to all that enormous potential. I don't know if you can ever live up to anything if you're a punter taken in round three.
I think they're going to re-sign JT Thomas. That's something that they're going to get done. I don't know if that technically qualifies as an extension, but I think he's one of the guys that are going to be free agents this year that the team is going to be looking to bring back.
Is he restricted, though?
No.
He's full.
If he gets a multi-year deal, which he will, that qualifies.
Yeah. And Allen Ball is a guy that I think that you look at because he's a free agent this year as well. I do believe he's a guy that you look at, but the secondary question's an interesting one because a lot of people brought up Will Blackman. Given that Aaron Colvin, a lot of people feel like is going to be the starter next year opposite of Demetrius McCray. So what are you doing with that third and fourth corner spot between Dwayne Grotz? And if you're going to bring back Allen, or do you try to go get another young guy to come in and play that fourth corner spot for this team going forward? It's an interesting spot for them to be in.
It's not a spot they're going to have to spend a whole lot of money on.
No.
And not a very good draft for cornerbacks, by the way. It's the one position that the draftniks say is way down.
And they've spent three draft picks in the last couple of years. They feel like they've addressed at least the front line. I don't think that to me doesn't seem like a major concern. I don't – the cornerback play, I think, has been pretty solid. Particularly, I think, McCray – all year long, since he's gotten in the lineup, has been pretty solid, and I don't know anybody who doesn't have high hopes for Colvin based on just the little glimpse we've seen so far. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. We learned some things today.
Haiku.
You learned about that. We learned some interesting seven-syllable words. Go Google them for yourself, kids.
we we learned that Mark Long, even after we told him it was 5-7-5 syllables, that he thought we went three words, a 5-syllable, a 7-syllable, and a 5-syllable.
That's a hell of a poem.
That's awesome. That would be fantastic. I'm going to write a few of those tonight just for you and send them on your way. Mark Long, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Appreciate everything you did this season on Jaguars Today, and I look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Yeah, 2015. We'll do it again.
At AP Mark Long, ladies and gentlemen, on Twitter. Check him out as well. Thank you, brother. And there he goes. Thanks to Lauren Brooks, Joe Fortunato, Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. We get the boys at XL Primetime coming up. So stick around right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.